You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Okay. Sorry. I have my notes. I kind of trail off on a rabbit trail sometimes when I don't have notes, so I kind of need to. Okay. Yeah, I'm Cheyenne, and I'm from North Carolina, and I really appreciate this opportunity. I'd like to pray first, so if you guys would join me. Father God, we come to you and thank you for all your many blessings for this opportunity to come to camp every year. You always provide, God, and we just thank you for all your many blessings, and we ask that your words speak, Father. We just ask that your Holy Spirit manifests in all of our hearts and lives throughout this week, God. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the Lord put on my heart faithfulness and his faithfulness. And I felt like I really needed to share a week I had about a month ago now that kind of led me to this thought. And I was just, to be perfectly honest, I was struggling. I'm getting ready to go to college, and I was going to scholarship night at my school, and I was expecting, honestly, I was expecting a bunch of money because I had prayed about where I wanted to go, and I felt like the Lord laid on my heart Meredith College in Raleigh, and for those of you that don't know, it's an all-girls private school, and it's really expensive. And so when I felt like I was supposed to go there, I was like, God, you know, you've got to provide. You've got to get the money there because, you know, my family certainly don't have $39,000 a year. And he spoke to my heart and said, I will provide. So I was expecting money because that's how I saw it. It would come through scholarships. And so when I got there, and I got maybe four out of the many that I applied for. And I was just so frustrated and like, God, did I miss hearing you? You know, did you not say Meredith? I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to work. And I was so focused on myself. You know, it was all about me, 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 and I, and why was I not good enough? Why didn't they want me? And so I was just, that was going through my head throughout the week. And then I was on my way to pick up the girl that I babysit, and I got a voicemail on my phone, so I was listening to it, and I got this amazing news about a friend of mine, and just something that we had been praying about for months, and to be honest, I had lost hope. You know, this didn't seem to align like I thought it needed to, and I was just overwhelmed by this news. And I was sitting there at a stop sign on this little backcountry road that nobody ever travels. And the Lord spoke, I am faithful. And I was just blown away. I sat there and cried my eyes out. And that's when I was asked to speak. And my initial reaction was, I can't. I don't talk in front of people. It freaks me out. but the Lord said, no, you can't, but I will, because I am faithful. And, like, the next day, I got a package in the mail, and it was from this really special friend of mine, and she sent me this little notebook, and she had no idea what was going on in my life, and it was filled with all these beautiful scriptures and encouragement, and it was just another reminder of God's faithfulness, you know? And so after all of that, I was feeling better and like, okay, God, I'm going to trust in your faithfulness, but I still don't see how this is going to work. And then the girl that I babysit, she's special needs, and that weekend she had like a major setback, and she was rushed to the hospital, and I was like, God, I don't know what you're doing. This has just been an emotional roller coaster this week, and I don't know what you're doing right now. Why does stuff keep happening? And he said again, I am faithful. And I was like, I was kind of to the point where like, okay, I've got it. You're faithful. And But then he took it a step further and said, that doesn't cease to be true when something doesn't work out how you think it should be. And I was like, oh, okay, that was okay. And at that moment, I realized that with Ellen, things are going to work out how God intended it. You know, it might not be how I see it. You know, it might not be this full restoration of her mind, but God's using that little girl. She's touching lives. She's touched my life in amazing ways. And with the money for college, I may be in debt up to my elbows when I get out, but it's okay. Because even if I have nothing, even if I am like in a shack under a bridge somewhere because I'm so broke, God's going to be there with me because he is faithful. So with saying all that, there are so many examples in the Bible of God's faithfulness. And as I was praying about it, I just kept feeling Moses. And so as I was reading in Exodus, you know, Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and God went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and he was guiding them. And there's no doubt that was God's plan. You know, you couldn't question, well, did we miss God? Because I mean, he was right there. And when they were in front of the Red Sea and they saw the Egyptian army coming, then they're still like, God, why are you doing this? What's going on? They were questioning, just like I did. And in Exodus 14, 10 through 14, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. And, you know, as we know, he parted the Red Sea and the Israelites walked in his faithfulness to the other side. And then in Exodus 16, the Israelites were starving. And again, they started complaining and were like, God, what are you doing? And they were so focused on themselves. And God sent manna from heaven. You know, that's just an amazing provision, in my opinion. And in Exodus 17, they were thirsty, and they went to Moses, and they're like, we're going to die. We're thirsting to death. And when Moses cried out to God, he sent him to the rock, which, oh, and the water flowed out. And it's just, it blows me away, because that beautiful picture of Jesus, when he is the rock, and his provision flows out, you know, for whatever your need is. You know, in that moment, it was they were thirsty, and he quenched their thirst. But in your life, it could be like loneliness, or he will quench that. And through all of the Israelites, I mean, there's so many examples, but that's where I'm stopping. But they, through all of their struggles, they made it about themselves and how it was affecting them. And they weren't looking from a heavenly perspective and how God could provide in that situation. But he was faithful, even though I personally probably wouldn't have been. I'd be like, you're getting on my nerves. Stop complaining. And that was Old Testament, you know, and that was before God saw us as he sees Jesus. So if he was faithful in that Old Testament, you know, why wouldn't he be now? And when Paul was in prison writing to Timothy, he... sorry, gotta find the new scripture. Okay. He was writing to Timothy, and in 2 Timothy 2, 7 through 14, he says, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying, if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, he will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So Paul is in prison, and this isn't like the house arrest prison he was in before. This is like the dirty, grimy dungeons, cold and wet. And, you know, he's in a dark place, literally. And, you know, he's just known struggles and experienced pain. But he still knows God is faithful because he has been in his own life, you know, through everything, through the prison before, through being shipwrecked. You know, Paul went through some stuff. And he was able to have faith because of God's faithfulness. We have faith in response to God's faithfulness. And in Romans 8:32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You know, God was faithful to restore us all of humanity unto himself through Jesus. You know, if he was faithful enough to do that, and it's on a personal level, you know, it's dying for you. Even if you were the only soul on earth, he would have still done it. And that just blows me away. And if he's faithful in such a great and awesome way, why wouldn't he be faithful in all the aspects of your life? So I just want to encourage you that God is and will continue to be faithful in each of your lives because Christ is in you, and he cannot deny himself, as Paul says. So in the midst of your suffering and pain, loneliness and grief, doubts and fears, even when you believe that you failed or people have told you that you aren't good enough, you know, he will remain faithful, and he will hold you through it. That doesn't cease to be true when his will doesn't seem to align with what you have planned or desired, because he sees the bigger picture. He looks from the heavenly perspective, and he knows what's in store. And as a very wise and great man in our church says, as long as you have breath, you have purpose, and he will be faithful to see that purpose through.
That was, everybody say wow. That was powerful, Cheyenne. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart. Somebody in here need that? I needed that this morning. Thank you. Awesome word. Wow. Next up, we also have Sharon with us this morning, another great man of God who's come to this camp for quite some time. I've always appreciated his spirit and the heart, and so I'm excited to hear from him this morning. He comes from Cedartown, Georgia, from Pastor Bishop David Huskins and Pastor Neil Hopper. And this morning we're going to hear from Christian Hopper.
This morning, I'm going to talk to you about relationships because it's something God's laid on my heart for quite a while. And I was talking to my dad about relationships and, you know, your relationship with God and your relationship with people and, you know, kind of how your relationship with God affects your relationship with people. And so we came up with these four things that we think that all relationships need to have these four things that thrive and be good and prosperous. And so number one is, we cannot have a relationship if my words are unimportant to you. That means is, like in relationship to God, if God's speaking to you but you're ignoring him, then, you know, how are you going to move forward? if I have a friend and I'm doing something wrong, or they think I'm doing something wrong, or you have a mentor, no matter how annoying that may get, you know, being told you're wrong, they're watching out for you and looking over you. But if you keep ignoring them and moving in that wrong direction, you're going to end up on a wrong path. Number two is, we cannot have a relationship if we hide important information from one another, or the truth. The truth is incredibly prevalent in every relationship. You know, just, you know. So many things about your relationship thrives off truth, and even one lie can misuse the trust that you have in a relationship. Number three is, you can have no relationship if you enjoy a friendship with my enemies. And I'm not talking about the high school drama. Oh, she doesn't like me, and Betty, who's my friend, likes her, so I can't be friends with Betty anymore. We can't do that. No, I'm talking about moral enemies, and that means, my dad put it this way. He said, if you are a Satanist, we are not going to get along. And the fourth one is that relationships always blossom when sacrifice takes place of selfishness. Because love says, I'll do what's best for you at my expense. Don't we know that the foundation of all relationships is love? And that's evident through the cross. I tell you all this. This is a couple of years ago, if you knew me, if I could talk about myself for a second. Thank you. I played football, and I came to the camp, and I came to this camp, and God told me, I want you to go home and quit football. And I thought, oh God, Dad's going to love that. And so it took me several weeks, but I went home, I told my dad, I said, Dad, I don't want to play football anymore. He said, what do you want to do? And I said, it's a good question, I don't know. So I trusted God, and that year I started wrestling, and I loved wrestling. I can talk to you about wrestling all day long if you let me. But I came back to the camp, and God said, I want you to quit wrestling. I thought, oh my gosh. And he said, you're going to do theater. God? Did I hear you right? You want me to do theater? Okay. And the reason I know now that he wanted me to quit is because with everything I did, and I'm not saying this is true with every team, but when I would go on these teams and I'd make friends, I'd make bad relationships with the wrong people. And those relationships put me on a bad path, and God was watching out for me. And it was a good thing that I listened to God and heard the truth, because his words were important to me, and I got on the right path. And out of that path, this year I was in a play that was a part of the first award-winning cast to win something in my town in the past decade and a half. I was also nominated for Governor's Honors Program for a musical theater that I turned down to come here. So, with all this said, there's some of you in here that I know have bad relationships, and I want you to pray about them, and I want you to think about them. Because there are some friends you have that, even if you like them, may not have your best interest in mind. Your words may not be important to them. And they're not doing the ultimate thing. They're not doing what's best for you at their expense, no matter what it does. So I want you guys to pray and think and reflect on that this week. And that's all I had to say.
say wow. Only one stipulation to these messages this morning is I want their notes before they go. I'll give you credit one time and then it's mine. I can use that. Did you enjoy that? That was powerful. That was incredible. Wow. Great. Amen. Daniel's going to come and do some things for us here in just a minute. But Jim had something he just wanted to share too also this morning real quick before. Hang on. Wait. And then Daniel's going to come on down. He's going to do something in just a minute for us.
Oh, I'm sorry. At least she didn't put me up after the magician again. But this was bad enough coming up after these guys. My dear sister-in-law and pastor reminded me today that I had forgot to finish my story. And I do that a lot. I train people for a living right now in lean manufacturing and continuous improvement and things like that. And I'm always forgetting something. And so I go back and I finish. But my sister-in-law reminded me that, Lisa reminded me that I didn't finish the story. My dad, when I was young, my parents split up when I was 9 years old. And I didn't see my dad but like once a year. And then I got saved at the age of 20. And I started to make reconciliation with my dad. And what I had told you was is I'd never heard my dad tell me that he loved me. And as I started to make reconciliation with my father, after I'd given my heart to Christ, my dad, he was inching that way. And I would say, "Dad, I love you." Of course, I'd never told him I loved him. And I said, "Dad, I love you." And he said, "Same to you." And that's all I could get out of him for like 20 years. And my dad contracted cancer in his 60s, and he had seen my children, his grandchildren, and we had reconciled. And I just wanted you to know that. And the reason I wanted you to know that was, because for about 20 years, that's all I got was "same to you." He never could tell me he loved me. And when he got sick, I guess he decided it was finally time. And I said, "Dad, I love you." One day, as we were sitting there with him, and he said, "Jim, I love you." Yeah. Now, the reason she wanted me to finish it, I guess, because I'd just soon not finish it. But no, I'm just kidding. Is that in every situation, once you get Jesus in the middle of it, it'll turn around. Always. And it might take 20 years and a lot of "same to yous," but eventually God will put into place what he wants to be put in place. And when my dad told me he loved me, that was worth it all. So I just want you to know this morning, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what situation you find yourself in, he is faithful and just, and he will bring it to pass. Okay? So just trust the Lord this morning. Amen. And same to you.
He's faithful to build. He's faithful to build relationships. And Jim's dad found the Lord and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior before he passed. And Jim was able to share at his funeral and just share some of those things. So it's an awesome picture of God's restorative power and his faithfulness to relationships that mean so much to us. Amen. Are you ready for some Daniel time this morning?
Well, praise the Lord. I tell you what, I am honored to be able to follow you guys, Cheyenne and Christian. That was absolutely over the top, outstanding. I've been in a lot of church services and haven't heard that much word and that much heart and that much God. So I'm very proud to be able to follow that. I mean, that's awesome. So I wanted just to share a few moments.